And so we'll look at Zephaniah, and I want to look at chapter 3. And as we come to chapter 3, I want to look at the last portion of chapter 3, as last time we looked at the judgment that was that the Lord said would come to Israel and the nations. The last portion of chapter 3, it talks about the future blessings that will be those for the... And he's really speaking of the coming millennial kingdom. And so let's begin in chapter 3, verse 9. Well, for context, let's begin at verse 8, where it talks about the judgment of the nations prior to the millennial kingdom. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour out upon them my indignation, even all mine fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplements, even the daughter of my dispersed shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in my pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear now not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be black. The Lord thy God, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, and he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time will I bring you again, even in time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the upcoming events and things that are going to happen in the future, things that were prophesied by Zephaniah, which speak of that great and wonderful blessing that is going to be poured out not only upon Israel, but upon the whole world when you come to rule and reign during the millennial kingdom. Lord, I pray that you speak to us this afternoon, help us to understand these things. And even as we saw this morning, the Lord told us that we have been blessed because you have opened our ability to see and hear and understand the things that you have prophesied, and actually now we are living in the midst of them. Even as his disciples lived and saw you come the first time, we are living in the days prior to your second coming. And Lord, may we be filled with anticipation and with joy as we look forward to that day. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, Zephaniah begins as he's talking about the judgment that's coming. just as we've been studying in the book of Revelation, one of the things that we've been looking at was the Battle of Armageddon in the book of Revelation. Zephaniah makes reference to this same event, which was found in verse 8, which we started our reading this afternoon, where he speaks of all the nations that are coming against Israel. We already talked the last few times that we met looking at Zephaniah, how that he had said that he was going to come with against all those nations that surrounded Israel, the ones to the north, which was Assyria, the ones to the south, which was referred to as Ethiopia, which is another name for Egypt in Scripture. They were a union of two nations, Ethiopia and Egypt. And then also to the east, Moab and Ammon, and to the west, the Philistines. And that those nations would be judged because of the fact that they had come against Israel. But in the last days, all that we studied in the book of Revelation, and you can also go to other portions in the Old Testament and see where the prophets foretold that all the nations would rise up against Israel. We know that that is going to be brought about as Satan unites the nations to come against Israel because he wants to destroy the nation of Israel. One of the things that people say is, why do the people hate the Jews? Well, it's really not the people that hate the Jews as much as Satan that inspires them to come against the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom God gave promises to. And he has not fulfilled all those promises, and they will not be fulfilled until the millennial kingdom comes. And we're seeing this afternoon as we look at the last portion of chapter 3 in Zephaniah, where the Lord speaks of fulfilling those promises to the nation of Israel when he returns to rule and reign and he becomes their king. Now, some of the things that will be fulfilled is they will be given the land. And they will not only be given the land that they possess now, but they'll be given all that is promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is a lot larger portion than they currently have in Israel today. It would go all the way up to the Euphrates River to the north. It will go down into the Sinai Peninsula on the south, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, and into much of what is Jordan today. And they would inhabit all of this, would become their land, because that is what had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God has never fully delivered upon that promise. Even during the time of David and Solomon, they did not possess all of it, although they came close. But the thing is, there will come a day where the Lord will give it all to them. Now, one of the things also that we see in the text this evening is that those nations, as Satan brings and inspires those nations under the leadership of the Antichrist, to come against Israel to destroy them, to do what Hitler said he was going to do, the final solution, getting rid of the Jews, and really it's trying to get rid of the Jews' God, and it'll be our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he's going to bring them, and that will be the moment that the Lord intervenes and rescues Israel and destroys the armies of all the nations of the world. Now, we know that God is not done with Israel because the Scriptures tell us that. It also tells us that as you look at the last days, the barometer of the last days is always Israel. And as you looking at what's happening to Israel today, really you have to think that it cannot be that much longer before the Lord returns. When you look at what they're doing with the whole COVID thing and the wickedness that's being imputed upon the Jewish people in the land of Israel right now, things are going to have to happen and rather quickly. And so these events are getting lined up. It will happen. And when God comes and defeats them, the armies of the world, and establishes his kingdom, it says here that they're going to be devoured with the fire of his jealousy. And his jealousy is over that which belongs to him, and that Satan would attempt to take it and destroy it. In verse 9, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to save him with one consent." And the remnant of Israel will in turn call on the name of the Lord. And right now, if you go to Israel, the majority of the people are not don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the God of the Bible, even though they maintain their festivals, feasts, and holy days. And even though they would refer to it, they don't acknowledge the majority of the Jewish people in Israel today are still secular Jews. But there's coming a day where the remnant, those that will be left, will call on the name of the Lord and look to the God of their fathers and call on Him to deliver them. And He will deliver them. And it's all, and then it speaks here also that they're going to be coming back to the land. Right now in Israel, there's about half the Jews in the world live in Israel. Close to the other half live in the United States, and then they're scattered throughout the other countries of the world. Although I foresee things happening politically where the Jewish people will be coming back to Israel because it will be one of the few safe places for them in the future as anti-Semitism grows. And then in verse 11, in that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. Why won't they be ashamed? Because they will be forgiven. And God will forgive them. And in other scripture we see they will look upon Him whom they pierced, acknowledge that He is their Messiah, and call out for His redemption. And for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. And so the ones that are seeking to cause them to be prideful and to speak and come against God, they'll be removed. And the ones that will be left, he says, find my place. For I will take away the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty. In other words, they're not going to have the prideful, haughty spirit because of my holy mountain. Because the Lord will return to His holy mountain. And as God returns to His holy mountain and Jesus rules and reigns from Jerusalem, they'll acknowledge that He truly is the King over Israel. And not only the King over Israel, but the King over the whole world. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And so they'll no longer trust in their own abilities. And right now, Israel has the strongest army in the Middle East. They possess great wisdom and knowledge. They're the Silicon Valley of the Middle East. And they really, a lot of the computer things come out of Israel. And we think the Silicon Valley in California. But what happens in Israel is just as significant and important. And so consequently, they think that they have everything under control, even though they're living in a real powder keg around them. But that arrogance is going to be removed, and their trust is going to be in the Lord. And they're going to be calling on the name of the Lord as the haughty spirit is removed from them, and God comes to dwell amongst them. And I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people that may trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. There's going to be a transformation in the hearts of the people in that those that remain, which is other portions of Scripture tell us, that it's going to be one-third of the Jewish people will be left alive at the end of the tribulation to enter into the millennial kingdom. And they will worship the Lord, acknowledge His name, and the remnant of Israel will no longer do iniquity, but rather they'll desire to serve their King. Or they will not speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and one shall make them afraid. And we see here that the speaking of the one is Christ personally. Will be reigning in their midst. He'll give them security, and they will. He will be their protector and their guardian, and he's going to be. They'll acknowledge that he is their deliverer. Single daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now, as you remember, Zephaniah is speaking to a people that are going to be taken away into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar within a short period of time. And there isn't a whole lot of joy there. there isn't a whole lot of joy when they came back into the land when you read in Ezra and Nehemiah, and they're weeping as they look upon the new temple, the second temple that they built, and it's so inferior to Solomon's temple that they weep. Yet there's coming a day where the Lord shall come and he shall establish his reign on Judah, on Mount Zion, and he shall rebuild his temple that he shall rule and reign from, and there shall be no more, there shall be only gladness and joy and rejoicing as the Lord is there. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. Those that sought to destroy Israel shall be cast away, and he will take away their judgment and forgive their sins. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel, even the Lord. And here Zephaniah prophesies about who is their king. And Israel's king is the Lord. It's not going to be an earthly king. Initially, Israel will look towards the Antichrist, which is an earthly king. But God will defeat him at the end of the tribulation, and the Lord Jesus Christ shall come and rule and reign, and he will be acknowledged as the King of Israel. Even the Lord is the King, is in the midst of thee, thou shalt not see evil anymore. And so those that would seek to destroy Israel shall be judged, and no longer will they be made the laughing stock or be come against by the world. In that day it shall be said in Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion let not thine hands be slack. And the Lord is going to say, going to remove the fear from their heart and instead place in their heart a desire to serve him. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love and with joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. And we see that he's going to gather all of those unto himself, and he's going to be replacing the sorrow. And he's going to be replacing where they were received a reproach and condemnation and indignation from the world. And he's going to be replacing that with joy and with happiness and with love that will be found in him. Behold, at that time, I will undo that afflict thee. And I will save her that halteth and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and name in every land where they have been put to shame. Right now in the world, there's anti-Semitism that's growing, and people are putting to shame the Jewish people. Well, there's coming a day where all those that will put people to shame will be the ones that will be put to shame, and they will be judged for what they have done against the Jewish people. And God says that they're going to end up coming to Israel and acknowledging that the God of Israel is the true God, that Jesus, their King, is the Lord and King of Kings. We know during the Millennial Kingdom that all the nations of the world will be coming up to Jerusalem on feast day to honor the Lord on the Day of Tabernacles, and they will be coming there and acknowledging the Lord, that the Jewish people will be the ones that are leading in the worship of the Lord. Behold, at that time I will undo all the afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. Verse 20, at that time will I bring you again, even at that time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. So, when Israel is gathered as a nation into the world, which the beginning of it is now, and in Ezekiel you have the construction of the bones, the dry bones, where he starts out with dry bones being in the valley, and then the bones begin to assemble, and then there's sinew that comes on the bones, and then there's flesh that comes on the sinew, and then the Lord breathes life into these bones. It's a picture of Israel. Right now, there are the bones that are gathering in the valley, and the sin is beginning to be put on them as we see them beginning to be reassembled as a nation starting in 1948. And it's even going to be more as the other Jewish people from around the world will end up going back to Israel. And then the final day will be when they are gathered together as a complete nation. The nations of the world come to Israel to worship at Mount Zion because the Lord Jesus Christ, their King and our King, shall rule from Mount Zion with peace, authority, and righteousness. And the nation of Israel shall be exalted as they seek to worship their God, and the world comes to Israel. In another portion of Scripture, it talks about at this time that the world will seek out a Jew to be taught by him, because they will know about the Word of God and who the Lord is. And so we see that these promises will be fulfilled. Zephaniah speaks of it. And if you can imagine being a Jewish people living during the time of Zephaniah, and you're living in arrogance, you're living in pride, you're buying into the lie that nothing's going to happen to you, and yet we know Nebuchadnezzar is getting ready to come down and lead you into captivity, and that event is going to occur, and then the Lord speaks of all the judgments that are coming, not only against the other nations, but against you because of the arrogance and pride. But there's coming a day, and that day will be at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, where all of this will be turned into righteousness as God comes and establishes his kingdom forever. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us and help us to understand these truths. Help us to look to Israel. And Father, I pray that you would help us to desire to learn more about the significance of Israel in your timeline, and see that the day in which we're living is drawing closer to the day that you shall return, as the day of the rapture is drawing closer, which will set off the 7 years of tribulation, at the end of which you shall return to deliver your people and establish your kingdom on earth. Lord, help us to long for that day. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just close by singing again. We'll sing Marvelous Message I Bring. And that is... hymn number...